Good morning and happy Easter. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Welcome, everyone, to CSL Midtown, broadcasting to you this morning from Atlanta, Georgia. And we are so glad that you have joined us today. We welcome all people, no matter who you are or where you are in your life. Our center reflects this beautiful, diverse tapestry of life that we see everywhere around us in the world. So we welcome you, whoever you are and whatever path brought you to be here today. We know that you are an individual expression of the divine life in which we all live. You are welcome to participate here today and to become part of this community in whatever way serves you and the greater good. We hope that those of you who are watching our broadcast on a social media platform such as Facebook or YouTube will like and share this with your friends. All right, for a better understanding of who we are and what we teach, listen now to our Declaration of Principles as written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe
in eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Those were some of our fabulous practitioners and board members bringing you that message. The full declaration is available on our website, cslmidtown.org. My name is Judy Ailey, and I'm the moderator for today's service. And this morning, I'm excited to say that we have yet another fabulous guest speaker, and I will introduce him a little bit later. But this morning, our practitioner for this service is Maya Fuller. She will be sharing a few ideas with us, as well as leading us in a spiritual mind treatment. Welcome, Maya.
Thank you, Judy. Good morning, CSL Midtown. It's Easter Sunday. Happy Easter. As we know, the story or the history of Easter is that Jesus died on the cross, and then 3 days and three nights later, he was resurrected. Well, what does Easter mean to us at Centers for Spiritual Living when we're New Thought metaphysicians? And most of us don't consider Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. So why and how do we commemorate Easter? The founders of New Thought, including Ernest Holmes, considered Jesus to be our way shower, like an older brother who's found his way and is encouraging us to know that we can do what he did and even more. In the Bible, John 14:12 quotes Jesus as saying, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." But we said the Easter story is that Jesus died and then rose again. Is that what we're being called to do? And even greater than Jesus? Not likely. We interpret the Bible metaphysically anyway. So what does Ernest Holmes have to say? Interestingly, when I looked in the Concordance of the Science of Mind textbook, it doesn't show that the word Easter shows up in the book at all. I thought that was very interesting. However, the word resurrection does show up a few times. He said, in reference to the way it shows up for Easter, Holmes on 4:13, he relates the resurrection to Easter by saying that the resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separate from God. The death of the belief that we're separate from God. For death is to the illusion alone and not to reality. God did not die. What happened is that man awoke to life. The awakening must be on the part of man since God already is life. So Holmes is saying that man awoke to life and that the awakening must be on the part of man. It's our responsibility to awaken. So we must wake up. Even though we're alive, it's not like we're like Jesus who died, we're alive, but it's still saying, let's wake up and live. The Christians say that Jesus lives, right? But do we live? We're alive, we're respirating, but are we truly living our lives out fully? I'm pretty sure our speaker today, Ron Fox, is going to do a deeper dive into this teaching and what it says about Easter or the resurrection. But to further support the metaphysical interpretation that we should wake up to life and connect our joy with of living is that Easter comes right around the time of the spring equinox, when the season changes from winter, when life on the planet is dormant during winter. The trees are bare, the grass and the vegetation stop growing. But right around Easter, winter changes to spring. And spring is the time we know when nature, the nature of God's creation, all of God's creation springs to life. Trees become more lush and green, flowers bloom, and rivers that were frozen, they thaw and they begin to flow once again. So I submit to you that it is to be the same with us. Let us consciously take a look at what we can do to get our renewed sense of living during this time of awakening, during this spring, during this Easter season. Let's tune in to see what we might do to reconnect with our joy of living. Do children light you up? Does nature float your boat? How about movement? Does dance or yoga or playing tag football invigorate you? I encourage you to set your intention to take action, to do some of the things that make you feel the resurrection of life that Ernest Holmes was talking about. Spring is a time for us to consciously resurrect our intention to live our lives fully, to tap into the joy of living. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us, and so it behooves us to live fully today while we can. Let us treat. Just take this time right now to settle into this right now moment. This time that we have set aside to live our best lives, to tap into our spirituality so that we can know and live fully who we are as spiritual beings. We know that we can never be separated from the one presence, one power that is the all power of the universe. We are one with the God of the universe, the good of the universe, and can never be separated from it. God is wholeness, we are wholeness. God is life, we are life. God is ever alive and ever expanding, and that is our true nature as well. So we lean into this natural true nature of us to be alive and to expand and to create and co-create. And we tap into the joy of that. We tap into the joy of living so that we feel invigorated, so that we might be able to experience great good in our lives. And for that great goodness that we experience, that joy that we experience, that joy of living that we experience, for that to pour over and touch the people that are around us, touch our communities, touch the world. We just give thanks right now for the reminder of Easter, of resurrection, for us to tap back in, to resurrect our intentions to live life fully. We know that this Centers for Spiritual Living, CSL Midtown, is a center that helps us to do that. And we just give thanks for everyone who has gathered here together to support ourselves and to support one another in our spiritual growth. So let us spring into action, spring into spring, and reinvigorate our joy of living individually and collectively. We know that great things come of this, and we give thanks for that in advance, and we allow it to be. And so it is. Amen.
CSL Midtown is pleased to be able to continue providing our community with excellent speakers from all over the country. We have really enjoyed hearing these many varied messages and look forward to more of the same high-quality speakers. We hope that you will spread the news about our great Sunday speakers to your family and your friends. This Sunday, our speaker is the Reverend Dr. Ron Fox. He will wrap up our month of March with a talk entitled Surrendering into a New Life. As an ordained religious science minister, motivational speaker, and human resources executive, we are excited to hear from Reverend Dr. Ron today. He joins us from Port St. John, Florida. And please be sure to come on our CSL Midtown Zoom link for a brief discussion after the service. Join me in welcoming Reverend Dr. Ron Fox.
So good morning again for the third time, and happy Easter. My name is Reverend Dr. Ron Fox, and my topic today is surrendering into a new life. And I want to begin with a quote from one of the great modern day New Thought teachers, the late Eric Butterworth, who wrote, "Easter is a time to take a new look at ourselves and contemplate the divinity in us, the depths of our own God potential. It is a time to reappraise the principle that makes all overcoming possible." Easter is about all of us having Christ potential. And Maya kind of touched on this in her message. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper. We believe that Jesus was the great example rather than the great exception. And what I mean by that is, if we look at Jesus as the great exception, all we can do is really step back and say, wow, what a fabulous life he lived, and look at all he did. If we see Jesus as the great example, we can look at his life and we can say, I can live in that same way. I can live loving God. I can live loving my neighbor. I can live knowing that a part of me is divine. Let me just share with you how another master wrote. Meister Eckhart said, "What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself?" He's saying what we need to do is recognize that divinity, accept that divinity, and practice it. Resurrection is about new beginnings. We die to one experience and open ourselves to a greater experience. And resurrection isn't necessarily a one-time thing. We can experience a resurrection in our life through a divorce, through job loss, when we lose somebody that we love, when the kids are out and all of a sudden we're empty nesters. It's about a time when our old identity dies so a new one can be born. And I want to read for you a really wonderful example of somebody experiencing this kind of resurrection. And this is from the book Guidance from the Darkness by Reverend Mary Murray Shelton. And I want to read a couple of paragraphs from A Science of Mind magazine, and you'll see what I'm talking about. "Dear friend, I found this beautiful magazine in a dirty, rundown motel room. When I went into that room, I was an alcoholic and an addict. When I left, I was shining, clean and free woman. I was free from my obsession with alcohol and drugs. I was free for the first time in many years. My life before this consisted of being locked up in hospital wards, jails, and prisons several dozen times. One by one, I gave away my four children. During one of my more desperate times of loneliness, I stole one of my children. For this insanity, I was sent to prison. I never knew what resentment was. What I felt was a deep hate for the world, but most of all, for myself. I felt guilty too, and knew what it was to be very lonely. The fears I had were many and nameless, and I made several attempts at suicide. This was my life until I found that beautiful Science of Mind magazine 2 years ago in that dirty little room. I read the words that told me God's dwelling place is within me, that if I would still my thoughts, I would realize his presence. May God bless you, my friend. And may he bless those wonderful people who wrote the words that started a chain of miracles. Love, Jane Doe. Jane's healing began when she hit rock bottom, when she was willing to move beyond the life she was living, the status quo. She had no idea what her life was going to be like when she left that room. But she read those words that God would always be with her. And that is allowed to heal, would allow the healing to begin. Easter is about freeing ourselves from limited living. It's about a new way of living and a new way of being. You know, if you believe that you're limited, you'll live a powerless life. If you believe you're a victim, you'll get really good at being a victim. But what we're asked to do is wake up to who we are. And to answer the question, or to ask the question, who am I? And why am I here? So I'm going to answer those two questions in a couple of minutes. But before I answer them, I want to tell you about a woman named Megan McKenna. Megan is a Catholic speaker and author, and she facilitates groups. And one day, Megan was facilitating a book group when somebody yelled out at her, "Have you ever brought somebody back from the dead?" And her response was, "Yes, I have. Every time I bring hope into a situation, I bring somebody back from the dead. Every time I bring somebody from a place of despair, I bring somebody back from the dead. Every time I forgive and give somebody back their dignity, I bring somebody back from the dead. Every time I listen to somebody, not just with my ears, but with my heart, and affirm the life they're living, I bring somebody back from the dead. Every time I tell the truth, every time I fight injustice, all of those are times when I bring somebody back from the dead." That is resurrection. And we can all do that just like Jane did for herself, and like Megan did for other people, you and I have the power to do that. And so I want to take a moment and I want to give you three examples of what I'm talking about. And two of them, as you'll see, are really personal. In the late 80s, I got divorced. I found out one night that my ex-wife was having an affair, and I really thought my life just ended. I had no idea what I was going to do. We had three kids. I was sad. I was scared. I'll give you an idea. I was in such bad shape. When I went to see an attorney, he told me, I'm not taking your case until you go get some counseling because you're not ready to do anything. And how did I resurrect my life? What happened to me? Besides going for counseling, just like Megan, I found out I had people in my life that loved me and were willing to be with me. My best friend, when I told him, he said, what are you doing this weekend? I'm coming over. And he did. He spent a weekend with me. Took me on vacation with him a couple of weeks later with him and his family. Another one of my friends came over and he held me. And as I cried and he held me, he whispered in my ear, don't worry, Ron. We'll get through this. Not you'll get through it. We'll get through it. Every one of us has the power to be that loving presence to somebody else. Years later, when I did find the love of my life, who's sitting right here, I was working for Mattel Toys. My job got eliminated because my division got eliminated. I went to work for a consulting firm, and it was sold after a couple of years. And again, I was out of a job. But I heard this voice constantly that was telling me to start my own business. And it wouldn't go away. And when I talked about it to friends, they all tell me, don't do it. You're going to fail. My wife said, Ron, that's your intuition. That's God talking to you. I'll back you. Go do it. I did it. And I wound up having the most successful years of my entire business career. Once again, I experienced a resurrection. And just one last example. Jack Kornfield and Pema Chodron are Buddhist teachers. Jack wrote about a time when they were doing a weekend workshop for 2,000 people, 2,000 people. And a woman stood up and she said, I am in such pain. My life partner committed suicide 2 weeks ago. Jack Kornfield turned to the other people and he said, will anybody who has experienced a loved one, losing a loved one or a friend from suicide, please stand? About 250 people stood up. In that moment, that lady knew she wasn't alone and she had the power to face life. Because if those people could resurrect their life, she too could do that. You know, Ernest Holmes tells us that we've built tombs for ourselves. He said we've bound ourselves by unbelief, by superstition, and by fear. And he said, yes, yet there's always a voice that's calling to us, saying, arise and come forth. Let me tell you what he wrote. He said, no man ever walks life's road alone. There is ever another who walks with him. This is his inner self, the undying reality. We must not look afar to see the Christ, for he is ever near at hand. He is always within us. And so I want to share with you that if there's anybody listening to me that's hurting, if you're in pain, that's why you have practitioners there. That's why we have ministers. That's what our life is dedicated to being with people. And when you can't see the God within you, we'll see it for you. We'll help you turn your life around. I'm just going to do a quick story about my wife, who is a practitioner emeritus. When we were going through prac class together, she wasn't sure if she was going to become a practitioner or just take the class to build her consciousness. And one night in year two, we were practicing on one another. And when the class was over, I didn't get to see my wife during the break. And when we got in the car together, I could see she had been crying. And I asked her what was going on. And she told me she had worked with one of our fellow practitioners. And that person shared with her something that only her doctor and her husband knew. She was going blind. And my wife said, "Ron, in a year, she's not going to be able to see." And tonight, I got to pray with her. I got to hold her. And I got to comfort her. And tonight, I found out what my life's work's going to be: praying, holding, and comforting. That's what every practitioner does. We're here for you. Use us. I said before that I was going to answer the questions, who am I and why am I here? So I'm going to do that now. I'm sure most of you have heard the Bible quote, "My God," Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, I'm not a Bible scholar, but modern day Bible scholars believe that's a poor translation. What Jesus actually said was, my God, it is for this purpose I have come." So what's the purpose? It's the same purpose that you and I have come here: to recognize and actualize our own divinity. To recognize and actualize our own divinity. But that's not enough. There's one more piece to it. We've got to live it. We've got to live it. You and I can create the life we want. We can write the story that we want our life to be. We're the writer, we're the editor, we're the publisher. We can all do that. The true message of Easter is to roll away the stone of lack and limitation. To roll away the stone that says you can't live your dreams. To roll away the stone that says you're not smart enough. To roll away the stone that says you're not good enough. To roll away any of the stones that block any of us from actualizing who we're here and why we're here. What we're here to be. You know, when Jesus went to his friend Lazarus's grave, the first thing he did was thank God. And then he didn't ask God to roll away the stone, because God doesn't do that. God doesn't intervene in our lives like that. You and I need to roll away the stone. You and I need to roll away the the barriers that keep life flowing through us. And we can do it because, as Holmes told us, there's always another who walks with us. And Ernest isn't the only one that said that. I want to share with you how other people have put that thought that another always walks with us. Albert Camus wrote, he said, "In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all, in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. And that makes me happy, for it says no matter how hard the world pushes against me, there's within me something stronger and something better pushing right back." And just one other thought on that. This is one of my all-time favorite quotes from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. He said, "In the eyes of the world, I am average, but in my own heart, I am of great moment. The challenge I face is how to actualize, how to concretize the quiet eminence of my own being." Just a couple of other ways of saying there's another that always walks with us. So what can we do in our life to practice resurrection? I've kind of gone over some, but just to do some more. For one thing, we can live in the present moment because that's where God is. You know, in CSL, we say we want to create a world that works for everyone. We can do something in our own life, in our own community, to do that. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It could be being the best teacher you can be, the best parent. It can be volunteering, can doing anything to ease the pain or the injustice that we might see. We can pray for other people. We can forgive. I read an article in the Washington Post yesterday about one of the coaches of the women's team, I think it's the LSU team, that prides herself. She's a great coach, but in being hard and not forgiving. And she hasn't spoken to her sister in 5 years because they had a little spat. She hasn't spoken to her father because they had a disagreement in 37 years. I suppose that's one way to live, but isn't forgiving a lot more loving? We can listen and bring hope to somebody. We can bring joy to the people around us. And I'm betting that there's some people listening to me right now that have somebody in their life that would love and appreciate an email, a note, a call, a visit, just to say, "Hey, I'm here. You count. You matter to me." All of these are ways that we can invite resurrection into our life. So I want to close with a piece from a modern day mystic named Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. And the title of this piece is Moments of High Resolve. "Despite the dullness and barrenness of the days that pass, if I search with due diligence, I can always find a deposit left by some former radiance, but I had forgotten. At the time, it was full orbed, glorious, and resplendent. I was sure that I would never forget. In the moment of its fullness, I was sure it would illumine my path for all the rest of my journey. I had forgotten how easy it is to forget. There was no intent to betray what seemed so sure at the time. My response was whole, clean, authentic. But little by little, there crept into my life the dust and grit of the journey. Details, lower level demands, all kinds of cross currents, nothing momentous, nothing overwhelming, nothing flagrant, just wear and tear. If there had been some direct challenge, a clear-cut issue, I would have fought it to the end and beyond. In the quietness of this place, surrounded by the all-pervading presence of God, my heart whispers, keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve, that in fair weather or in foul, in good times or in tempests, in the days when the darkness are foe and nameless or familiar, I may not forget that to which my life is committed. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve. Thank you for listening. God bless you and happy Easter.
Is that our affirmation of prosperity and the ability to donate? You can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate or scan the QR code there. And if you would say with me our affirmation of prosperity, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is.
Our announcement. So everybody can get this in your mind. For those of you who don't know, we're going through an amazing transition process here at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. The transition team continues to work on your behalf to bring great speakers and working behind the scenes to make things happen for our community. Starting in April, we've already started this, looking for members who want to be on the minister selection team. So members of this team don't have to be located in Atlanta. Because of our communities all around the world, and thanks to the magic of the internet, the team will be made up of two regular members, two practitioners, and two board members, and Lee Huffman as the president of the Board of Trustees. Our current plans have us bringing on a new full-time minister in 2025, and because we want to do it right and have enough funds to be able to pay this minister properly, the CSL, the Center for Spiritual Living Global Office, estimates this process takes between 12 and 18 months. So in the meantime, we can help the center in three ways. So first, please treat, pray for the center to prosper and grow. This way we can remain online and move faster with our plans to bring a new senior minister as soon as possible. And please include those members of the transition team and selection team who will be guided by divine wisdom as we make our decisions. The second is we need to increase our giving. A steady increase of an additional $2,500 will help us continue our online ministry with a full-time minister. And if we can consistently bring in an additional $5,000 a month, then we'll be able to do other things, including going back to meeting both online and in person each week, and bring back the children's ministry and the young adult ministry. So if you're already giving, we really thank you for that. And if you can afford to do so, please consider setting up an ongoing donation of $25 to $100 a week. Give what you can, and the universe will take care of you and the center. Third, invite your friends and family to join us online. If you're on Facebook or on YouTube, please like and repost our services each week. You're really our best marketing channel. And speaking of the new member selection team, we're looking for community members to be part of this team. So we're still putting the criteria together. However, at a minimum, you need to be a member of the center, have completed at least a foundations class offered by Centers for Spiritual Living, or served in a leadership position in the center. And if you meet those criteria and would like to be considered for the team, please send an email to us at info@cslmidtown.org.